I am keenly interested to watch and observe the developments, seems like day to day, of what is happening. It's an interesting thing to watch when we know what the Lord showed Brother Branham in 1932. When he had one vision or trance, and there were seven major events, and we have seen those come to pass. Like Roosevelt was elected, and he said he'd have four terms. He did. He talked about Mussolini and what he would do in Ethiopia, and that happened. We were told about the Siegfried Line, and that happened. All of these things were foretold, written down, recorded in 1932. Brother Branham was only 24 years old, and through the years, those of us that have known him, me since 1950, we have observed these seven major events come to pass one by one by one. Even the shape of automobiles from 1932, the way they were designed, until he said they became egg-shaped. He even said that there would be one that would travel down the highway, the families would be turning around playing cards and so forth. I see that the Dodge Chrysler people have come out with a minivan this year where that's the thing they're advertising. Those families are turning around playing games, watching videos. Now, when Brother Branham said these things in 1932, there was no such thing as videos. He also said that the women had been given the right to vote. He said that at that time it was a very evil thing. Of course, the women had been given the right to vote in the 20s, but here we are now that you wonder, look back now, and what could have been evil about women having the right to vote. But I just ask you to think for a moment that if the women of America did not have the right to vote, we would not have abortion. And we can look in the Bible and see that any time any nation killed their children, God destroyed that nation. And so we in America, now we say there's been over 75 million abortions. And even President Reagan said like this, he said, it's a shame that the most innocent people in the world do not have anybody to defend them. And certainly an unborn child, we don't have that. Now, you may have your opinion and everything else, but you know that abortion is one of the touchiest questions we've got in politics today. In fact, you're not supposed to mention it. But all I can say is that I believe the Bible teaches to be a very evil thing. I don't think that it's a godly thing to do. Of course, we can give all kind of excuses and everything else, but to tell you the truth, it's just mainly the last step of birth control for people who don't want to face up their responsibility for the way they've lived their moral life, their immoral lives. Now, Brother Branham went on, and there was, out of the seven major events, five of them have come to pass. He even told us that those women would elect a boy president. And when Jack Kennedy was elected president, he made the comment, he said, I don't believe that Jack Kennedy will be that man, but I believe that he'll be a good president, sort of forerun the place for the next one. And he said the one that he saw was a man, it was crew cut, a playboy, a beatnik, and a ladies' man. Well, if that don't fit Bill Clinton, I don't know what kind of description you'd have. Right. Bill Clinton is 16 years old. Time magazine took his picture, shaking hands with Jack Kennedy. That's the most popular picture of Jack Kennedy and Bill Clinton together. When John was in the airplane crash a few years ago, it came back into the headlines again. And we as a group of people, myself since 1950, have watched these things come to pass. Yeah. And then Brother Branham said that the sixth thing he saw was he saw a woman rise up and rule America. He said she was beautiful but cruel at heart. Yeah. But Brother Branham said that will be just before America is destroyed. And he saw America in the seventh event. He saw her destroyed, coast to coast, border to border, blown out craters and stumps and things like that. And when you stop and think about it, when Brother Branham said this in 1932, America or the world did not possess the weaponry to destroy a nation like that. It was not until September the 12th, 1933, in Poland, that there was a physicist that came out with the thought of nuclear chain reaction. And he and Mr. Einstein got together and came up with the theory of relativity, and they built it over here in the White Sands in the 1940s. And the world, in the meantime, has developed weaponry that can literally destroy a nation. Now, we recall that Brother Branham was only 24 when these things were said and done. And why do I bring them to you today? Because I want to emphasize something I've told you people before. If you're going to follow somebody, who do you want to follow? There's a lot of people in the world that they follow the teachings of Mohammed. There's people in the world who follow the teachings of Buddha. There's people who follow the teachings of the Hindu gods. There are people who follow the Jewish religion. There are people who follow the Roman Catholic Church. And the Pope is the authority, supreme, absolute, infallible to the majority of Christians. Now, there's denominations that Johnny talked about this morning. But I say that we as a group of people have the opportunity to follow somebody that is a vindicated prophet of God. Who, and I'll put this challenge to anybody in the world, there has never been a person live on this earth except Jesus Christ himself, who gave more accurate, precise, detailed prophecies than Brother Branham gave in our generation. And therefore, you want to know what I follow and what I believe? I believe that I had the privilege to know a man who knew God well enough that God showed him the things that was going to happen from 1932 until the end of the world. Now, you may not perceive this until you begin to look at the scriptures and see how God has done this all the time. And you know, there was a time when Jesus asked his disciples. They had been with him. They had seen what he did. And he turned to them and said, "Will you also go away?" And their answer back was this, "To whom shall we go?" Now, I'm going to say that this morning. If I'm not going to follow the teachings and the evidence that I've seen in Brother Branham's life, where would you people have me to go? Who would anybody want me to listen to or follow? They'd say, "Well, I'm not going to follow a man." Well, I don't follow a man either, but most people in this world do follow somebody. Somewhere or another, they got what they believe. I met a man in Australia one time. In fact, he was the general manager, the director of IBM over there. And he got after me and he says, "You follow a man. I don't follow any man." And I said, "Well, where did you get what you learned, what you know? Did you get it from a Sunday school teacher? Did you get it from a preacher? Did you read it from a book? Or did you get a direct revelation from God, what you believe?" "I don't follow no man." And I mean, he became very adamant about it and very vocal. And I said, "Well, sir, where did you get what you believe?" And he started telling me how spiritual his wife was. And he started telling me what his wife told him. And come to find out, the man was telling me the absolute truth. He don't follow a man, he was following his wife. Now, almost all of you may not realize it, but you follow somebody. Most of the people, as I said, are Christians. They follow the teachings and the edicts of the Pope. And people don't criticize anybody. But let me dare say that I follow the teachings of the life and the example of a man that I had the privilege to know in this generation. That God, for some reason or another, gave him these accurate prophecies of the future in 1932. And I have watched them come to pass. Now, either Brother Branham is a prophet, or what I have taught you has been false. Now, you'll have to make that decision. But I cannot make you believe him to be a prophet. But I will show you this morning from the scriptures that God does use men like this. He has ways to do this. And I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Two verses of scripture to start this off this morning. And here's what God had Isaiah to write now. This was not written by the will of men, but a man under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, Isaiah, wrote these words. And you and I read them today. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, this is God speaking about himself. And Isaiah wrote it down. Now, I want to ask you, do you know anybody that knows the future? People says, well, I'll go to a fortune teller. I have never heard a fortune teller tell anybody the future. What they do is they're smarter than you are. And after interviewing you for a while, they find out what you want to know about and they tell you what you want to hear. But the only way that a person can declare themselves to be a prophet is when they speak in the name of the Lord and then it comes to pass. Exactly the way they say it. Now, I have had the opportunity to know many men of God all over the world. And Brother Branham is the only one who ever had the courage to tell me, Brother Green, if I ever tell you anything in the name of the Lord and it does not come to pass exactly the way I say it, then don't you ever listen to me again. I haven't had any of the others be that brave to put themselves in that position. But to me, that shows the difference in somebody that's speaking it out to attract attention to themselves and somebody who's just saying it because they believe God said it. Now, I asked you a question a while ago. If I don't follow Brother Branham's message and ministry and teachings, who would you have me to follow? Where would you have me to go? It's like Jesus even told his disciples, will you go away? And they said, where shall we go? Well, there was another time when Jesus asked him, said, who do men say that I am? He wanted to know. Well, I will ask you this morning, who do your books that you read, who do your friends that you talk to tell you Jesus is? You know, there's a lot of books about Jesus. There's a lot of people talking about him. But you know, there's a difference in hearing about him and knowing him. I think it's a personal experience that you can have. One of the mysteries that the Bible talks about all the time is great is the mystery of godliness. What is this mystery of God? It's all through the scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, it talks about this mystery of God. But in the last book in Revelation, it says something about the mystery shall be finished. There's going to come a time when the mystery of God is going to be made known. Now, also there's been challenges all throughout the scripture, just like I'm talking to you this morning. It's always been a question. What is right? What is wrong? What religion's right? What God's right? How do you follow? Which prophet's right? Which one's right? Well, you know, I'll just briefly bring these to your remembrance. You know, there was a mighty prophet, Elijah. He was a man that he loved the wilderness. He preached against the religious leaders of the world. He had no desire for fame or money. And he was called a woman hater because he preached against the Jezebel spirit. And you know, we got that spirit in the world today, you know. Women dress up the way they do and they flaunt themselves around. And you see a little girl, she's all primped up and everything else, and she's sassy and she's sexy. Everybody calls her a little Jezebel. But have you ever heard anybody naming their little girl Jezebel? Even the world knows that there's a spirit about that. And so Elijah preached against that. And as a result, Jezebel hated him, threatened his life, threatened to kill him. And Elijah, there was times when he had to face it, and there came a time when the scripture tells us an event up on Mount Carmel where he faced 400 prophets. And he challenged them, which one is God? You serve God or I serve God? And they had this challenge, and he had them build an altar, and he had them offer a sacrifice and call on God all day long, and he sort of stood over and mocked him and mimicked him. Well, maybe he's asleep, maybe he's on vacation, maybe he can't hear you today, maybe it's his day off or something like that. And it didn't nothing happened. Well, then it came his turn. He said, build it here, pour water on it. They poured water until it ran off of the altar, got it in the ditch around it. He said, pour some more, did that. And he stood off and he said, he called on the God of heaven, and God answered with fire. And we know that was a challenge. And you know, it's one of the most victorious things we read in the Bible. There was a challenge that Elijah says, Either if God be God, serve Him. If God's not God, then don't serve Him. Well, I think we can do the same thing today. There is a way that people ought to be able to find out. Is this true or is it not true? Is this God or is it not God? It's just because somebody writes a book about it and says that, don't make it so. But what can you find today that God has said and God has done it? You know, there's a time when the Hebrew children were in Babylon in captivity. And there was the king, he made an image and he told everybody to bow down to it. If not, well, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, there happened to be three young men there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, we will not bow down to this image. We're forbidden to worship any other god but ours. And they said, okay, then the fiery furnace you go. And they said like this, our God is able to deliver us, but if not, we still won't serve Him. And so you know the story. They were cast into the fiery furnace. The men, the soldiers who put them in there, they died from the heat that was in the furnace. But then there was a fourth one showed up in there, and they were delivered, and there wasn't even any smell of smoke on their clothes. And the king at that time says, their God is God. So there's been times when there's been a challenge. They put Daniel in the lion's den over the same thing. And the lions took a nap while he was in there. And again, the king comes out and says, well, Daniel's God is God. And made an image and even made it like Daniel. So there's been many times that this test has been put forth. There was a time when the children of Israel were in a battle against the Philistines. And David, just a young boy, he went down to take his brothers some cheese and crackers or sandwich to eat. And here was this great big man, Goliath, and he would challenge them, send one of yours out and let's fight him. Let the winner be the winner. And David says, I'll fight him. And they said, oh, no, here, take this armor. He said, no, I don't want that. God gave me a bear and He gave me a lion. The same one gave me the bear and the lion. Give me this guy. And so we know the story of David and Goliath. He went out there with five little stones and a slingshot, hit the guy between the eyes and cut his head off. And they said, the God of David is God. So this thing about putting a challenge out is nothing new. It would stand the test every time. Let God be God and every man a liar. There was a time when Moses was challenged about who was God. And we know, but you know, he cast down his rod and it turned to a snake. And then the magicians, they did the same thing. Theirs turned to a snake. But then Moses' snake turned around and ate them. And then they began looking after the 10 plagues of Egypt. Pharaoh finally said, take your people and get out of here. Your God is God. Yes. So this thing of God being challenged and answering it, God has never lost a contest.
Amen. Right.
So I say we should never be afraid to put it to the test. God is God, and His kingdom is the only one that will never pass away. We're in a contest right now. They want to teach our children evolution. They want to tell us that all this came into existence as a result of one big bang, one big explosion. You mentioned creation. Well, that's against the Constitution. That's against that. But I want you to know that it's a whole lot more difficult to believe the big bang than it is creation. I mean, anybody that can believe that this universe, with all of its intricate complications there are. And I think this is a very good subject for me to mention this morning, because this week in our paper here in Tucson, they were very proud of the telescope over Mount Graham. I did have the opportunity to see both of those lens while they were being ground down here and being manufactured down here underneath the McHale Center. It was a time we were doing the floor and all, and I had access to the building, and I went in and saw that. They're massive things. Can you imagine a pair of binoculars that just one side of it is 28 meters? I mean, that's a good idea. About 6 foot thick. Took a monster of a truck to haul it over there. But they've got it on now, and they're saying now that it's 10 times more powerful than the Hubble telescope. Now, I want to call to the attention of this congregation this morning. Do you know where that is? That's on top of Mount Graham over by Safford. And you get up there, you can look over there and see where the seven angels came down to see Brother Branham. It's less than 20 miles from it. Now, when they talk about more telescopes in Arizona than in all the rest of the world, I don't think this is a coincidence. I don't know any other place on earth where seven mighty angels came down from heaven and revealed themselves to a man. And told him things that were to happen. And he told them and recorded them for us in March of 1963. And we have watched them come to pass.
Yes.
Now, is there a possibility? Now, this is Perry Green talking now. I personally think there is a possibility that this is God showing us that, hey, these people are fixing to get an opportunity to look at the heavens. But we've already heard from heaven. You see, the Hubble telescope in 1985, they photographed seven mighty angels. The Russian cosmonauts, six of them saw angels in heaven. I believe they're still there. There was a cloud formed up here over Prescott, 26 miles high, 45 miles away. We don't have a rocket big enough to carry that much moisture up there. See, in Noah's day, they tried to prove there was no moisture. In our day, they're trying to prove there is moisture. Dr. James McDonald, professor of atmospheric physics right here, got in a discussion, me and a Republic newspaper in Phoenix about this, and said, Perry Green, leave superstition back in the 14th century where it belongs. Well, he had no explanation for the cloud. If he had had an explanation, then I couldn't have believed what I believe. But Brother Branham said it was seven angels. This plumb out of the atmosphere. And it remained illuminated 28 minutes after sunset. Now, that all happened right here in Arizona. He had over 80-something pictures of it. It can be seen. Life magazine published and said, a cloud too high and too big to be true. But yet it's there. And how many people in the world knows what happened? You and the ones we've told. I think we've been honored by Almighty God. And I say, if this is true, then think what an exclusive bunch of people you really are. But not how great you are, but how responsible you are to tell the people that this is the truth.
Amen.
They come along with evolution. Well, a person who could believe that it all came as a result of a big bang, that's a person that could take a stick of dynamite and throw it in a print shop and a dictionary would come out. Well, that dictionary is not near as complicated as this universe. Dr. Brick is here this morning, and he operated on my eyes and Janice's and Sister, didn't he do your mom? And Kathy, you can tell us who all he's done, but Sister Gladwell? Got a lot of people around here today can see as a result of his time. But he can tell you how delicate and intricate that eye is. Well, I've never known of anyone throwing a firecracker in there and coming out with one. It took somebody with some intelligence just to repair everything.
Yeah.
Or you have a secret we don't know, Doc. When you put me to sleep, did you set off a little explosion in or something that come out with my eyeball? Well, there's people that they're so intelligent, they believe that an explosion just happened and the universe can come in all of its order and everything we got. And not only that, but this human body just evolved without somebody designing it. I don't know how people can believe that.
Amen.
And you see where they go, they've got it now to where you don't want to do this because you might kill that little fish. And I thought their foolishness was really amplified when we had the fire up on Mount Lemmon, and they were concerned about all the ash coming down Sabino Canyon Creek. They wanted to save the little Sabino chub there. And so they went in there and caught several hundred of them and kept them over here at the University of Arizona so that the ash and everything wouldn't kill them. And so they kept these few alive over here until the creek cleaned itself out. And then they took the ones they had preserved and put back in there, and the ones who survived it in there ate the others. That should show the foolishness of our scientists. And you want to know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars they spent to do that? That's man trying to figure it out. But the ones that survived it in there, they were hard enough, they did it. It's like raising a hothouse cactus, isn't it? It was created to do what it's supposed to do. But I mentioned the telescope on Mount Graham and these things. It's all just part of it. But I'm glad to know that the one that created all in the beginning is still keeping it all. But there's so many things that he has said that's come to pass that those are the things that makes us believe that he is God. Now, I have never seen God. I've never heard his voice. I felt, you know, mouth to ear. But I believe there are people who have. And I believe that what I know and believe about God is because somebody that I have confidence in has had an experience with Almighty God. And when we think about it, they're talking about this telescope over there. It can see, I believe it cost $120 million. And I think they say that it can see 120 million light years in space. We know light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And I may not have my math correct, but I think I can give you enough to confuse you anyway. You know, that's per minute. Well, there's 60 seconds in a minute. So that means it would travel over 11,160,000 miles in a minute. Well, there's 60 minutes in an hour. Well, that means it goes 669 or 670 million miles in an hour. Well, then you got 24 hours in a day. You got it going over 16 billion miles per day. You got 365 days in a year. Then you got 120 million of those. How far do you want to run this thing out there?
Right.
Now, when they say that they can take this thing now and look out into space, how far are they going to go back before they realize that they're not going in a straight line but traveling in a circle?
Yes. Amen.
And that represents eternity. And that's what Brother Branham told us. That we're going to find out one day we're not traveling a straight line, we're going in a circle.
Amen.
Now, I guess when they see themselves going from behind, then they're going to realize, hey, we're like a dog, we're chasing our own tail. But we are told that we should listen to them when all they're trying to prove is that there is no God. There's a God somewhere. And I say the greatest understanding you can ever have is that there is a God. And then realize that that God is mindful of you. And that you are part of His plan. And He put you here for a purpose. And when you can find that in your life, then you'll find what you're searching for. You'll find the direction, the peace, the desire, the comfort, and that longing that you can't satisfy any other way. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Now, when you talk about seeing something 120 million light years away, here's what's happening, is that the light that they see originated 120 million light years ago. And so whenever that Big Bang occurred, the light is still traveling, getting here. That's how they time it. The light that you see from the sun left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. So whatever happened 8.5 minutes ago in the sun, you see it when you walk outside there. If there was an explosion, it didn't happen right there when you saw it. It was 8.5 minutes ago. Have I confused you? You understand that when you see something, it's back there, it's happened before you saw it.
Right.
It just took the light that time, that long to get here.
Yeah.
Now, when we recognize that we are expecting something in the future, God knows it before we see it, know it happens. He knows the end as though it were the beginning.
Yeah.
So therefore, when God foretells something. Like, for example, Brother Branham talked about Roosevelt. Roosevelt had just been elected. The election was November the 8th. Sometime there in the last 2 months of 32, Brother Branham said he'd be elected to the fourth term of office. What were the odds of that happening? Nobody else had ever been elected to four terms. But we know that over a period of 12 years, events occurred, but that God knew that and saw that and showed it to Brother Branham 12 years at least before it ever happened.
Amen.
God knew the end as though it were the beginning. Now, what they're doing when they look out there is they are looking for the source of that event. What caused it to happen? Now, if they find it, or if they come and say they found something, are you going to believe it? You know, they find a piece of rock down in the Antarctic, and they say it came from Mars. Now, how they figured that out, I haven't heard an explanation yet that I'll accept. But in that piece of rock, they found something that they said it showed that there was life on Mars. And how many billions of dollars have we spent now to try to find out there's life on Mars? I want to ask you, is that going to put any food on your table?
No.
Is it going to help your kids to live any longer? No, it's just somebody got an idea and a thought. If we could prove that there's life on Mars, then it means we're not exclusive here, and then people can't believe in Jesus Christ. You see, so it's anti-God. And we taxpayers are paying for it. So, my question, who are you going to listen to? You going to listen to these learned men, these scientists? What political leader are you going to listen to? Which government, which system? Which party? I want you to know, all of that comes and goes. But see, I can read in this Bible here. It tells me that God sets them up and takes them down. What kingdom am I interested in? The kingdom that will never pass away. Known as the kingdom of God. Who knows the end from the beginning? This one we read about from Isaiah. And how do we know this? Because there were spiritual men who were prophets, and they, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote about them, and you and I believe them. Did you know, I had an opportunity one time, I was invited to Israel by Mr. Menachem Begin, because we had conducted enough tours and took enough tourists there that in our agency, we had a reputation, and they invited me to come to a conference on tourism. It was at the very time that he had made peace with Egypt, and they were trying to develop more tourism. And they were also had just built the hotels down at Eilat, and they were showing us that they could have a sun and sex and sea and sand. And it offended me when they showed me literature with women dressed in bikinis. And I told them at the convention, I said, look, don't send me that literature to show my Christian pilgrims, because a woman in a bikini would offend my women and the men. And why don't you go ahead and put in there that sea, sun, sand, and sex. That's what you're trying to sell. And I suggested that they sell peace with Egypt. And promises and prophets. Israel is the only government on earth that believes they're prophets. They're the only nation on earth that God has sent prophets to. They're unique in that sense of the word. Nobody else has followed their prophet. Mr. Moshe Dayan one time, after the Six-Day War, he makes a speech at the United Nations, says, we do not believe in miracles. And everybody was shocked. He said, we live by them. You ask Mr. David Ben-Gurion what he believed, and he'd read to you from Isaiah or Jeremiah what they said, because he believed that was God talking. And that's what a prophet does. A prophet is a mouthpiece of God.
Yes.
And when he speaks, if he's under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, it's not him talking, it's God talking.
Yes.
Now, that is what you and I need to follow. If we want to be on the winning side, we want to be right, we want to wind up knowing the mystery of God, we need to find out who is God using to speak to us with. So I challenge you. How do we know who to follow? To whom should we listen? Well, you know, this thing about evolution and creation. One of the first things in the Bible, God settles that. He had Moses, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, how did he do it? Well, go back as far as you want to. He did it. But... what about this? What about this? Well, what about it? They haven't proved anything. But my Bible says, and I believe God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
I accept that.
Yes.
Well, did he do it in 6 days or 6,000 days, 6,000 years? You know what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
He's the only one who can create.
Right.
I heard a story one time that there was an atheist and so forth, and he was going to do something to show that God could do something, so they couldn't do it, or that he could do what God could do. And so they let him put the test, so he took some dirt, and he started doing it, and the man said, whoa, 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 use your own dirt. In the beginning, God created the dirt. Somebody wants to prove God by using his dirt? If you're God, you can create. Go ahead and create your own dirt.
Yes.
Use your own substance.
Amen.
God spoke, it was nothing.
Right.
And it came into existence.
Yes.
I can believe that.
Yes.
More than I can believe a stick of dynamite or create a dictionary.
Yes.
Moses, now somewhere or another, got that inspiration. And in the Bible, it starts and it gives us a record of mankind. Like, for example, Genesis 1 and 1, and you can put these on the board as I put them there so they can read them. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You know, that's one of the basic facts you need to get in your mind, your heart. That you live on an earth that God created, and you were created by God, and there's not anything made that He didn't make. He made it all. Genesis 5:24. In the first four chapters there, it tells us so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. But the seventh generation comes down, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And I bring that in there because I want you to know that he was the seventh from Adam. Seven generations. And that establishes a pattern throughout the Bible that you find that the number seven has a completion for God. You see, we're living in the book of Revelation, now we're living in the seventh church age. And that shows us that there is a generation that's going to be the last generation, and they're going to walk with God, and God's going to take them.
Yes.
And that's what we've been talking to you about for the last 3 or 4 weeks, is that there's going to come a time, there's going to be a people, that there's going to come a trumpet, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them. You're going to have a body change. This corruption will become incorruption. This mortal is going to become immortal. And we're going to meet them and go to be with the Lord in the air.
Amen.
That's called the rapture, the catching away, the transformation, the body change. Why do I believe that? Because that's what this book teaches.
Yes.
That's what the prophets have all said is going to happen. Jesus himself said, I go away, but I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to come back and get you so that where I am, you can be also.
Amen.
Now, heaven and earth will pass away, but that word will not fail.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has said, I'm preparing a place, and I'm going to come back and get those that love me.
Amen.
Now, you want to believe somebody's going to promise you Social Security? Or somebody going to promise you reincarnation? You want to really come back as a dog or a mosquito or a butterfly? Or do you want to believe what God's prophet said? See, you have to make those choices.
Yeah, right.
I want to believe what God's prophets say. To do that, I think I can hang my eternal destination on it.
Yes,
now, we find that as the generations went on, and all of them, you know, they lived to be 365 was Enoch, and I think Methuselah went to 989 or 969. And so, can you imagine the knowledge that those men accumulated? I think Adam was 830 years. Now, you see, Brother Gladwell back there is almost 80, and some of the sisters here are almost that old. I'm 75, and we're a whole lot smarter than you young kids. You may wonder how we got dumb so young, but, you know, we know things that you don't know. Now, what if we could live to be 150? What if we lived to be 500? You think we'd learn anything? Not even one amen. But you think about the knowledge and the experience they must have accumulated by living that long. Like my sister down there. Look how old she is. By the way, welcome this morning, Sammy. Good to see you. She's got a new knee down there. But welcome this morning. Now, she's 15 months older than I am, but that don't mean she's that much smarter than I am. But she does know some things I don't know. Because she lived 15 months on this earth without me. But you get the point I'm making, that these people, when they lived that long, they didn't just stop learning. They accumulated knowledge enough so they could build the pyramid that we still can't figure out how they did it. And the location of it, they even figured out the zodiac and the stars without the benefit of all the telescopes and everything we got. And for centuries, they built, well, even right here in Arizona, they built the Casa Grande house up here, oriented to the stars and all. Men have difficulty doing that today with all the modern instrumentations. It's because they lived long enough that they accumulated that, and they wasn't watching TV, they was watching the stars. Enough so they could see that star come up and remember it was here and it was there. Doing that. They told the seasons and things like that. And they found out that things that happened on earth was written in the stars. That's the first Bible we ever had.
Yeah.
Everything that happens on earth is written in heaven first.
Yeah.
Now where did I learn that? A prophet told me that.
Yeah.
And I believe it can be proven.
Amen.
Now, after these men like that, then God saw that men were going pleasures of the world more than that. And so he spoke to one man, Noah. Now, they didn't get together and vote on Noah and say, well, let's all listen to Noah. God spoke to him. And Noah began to tell everybody what God was going to do. There's going to come a flood. Well, it never had rain before. But there was only 8 people believed him. That was his family. Everybody else, whether it's rich, poor, fat, skinny, ugly, influential, unknown, they all died. Because they didn't listen to Noah.
Amen.
But those that were saved listened to Noah. Now God, that's the first time he showed us, I'll pick a man. And what I say, it's important you believe that. If not, then you won't be part of what I'm going to do in the future.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you, if you lived in Noah's day, do you think you'd have gotten a boat? Or would you have said, well, my church don't teach that. My denomination don't teach that. Well, I never heard that before. Well, you did too, because I just told you. But just get the thought in your mind that God does things like this.
Yes.
He does select a band. Not a group, a man.
Right.
And I'll show you many times he did that. After he did that with Noah, we can read in Genesis 12 and 1. Well, 1, 2, and 3. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show thee. That was totally against their social operation that day, because everybody lived with their family and inherited the land. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. and curse him that curses thee. And you know, God still keeps that word today. As long as America blesses Israel, we have a protection of God's promise. But once, if we turn against Israel, we no longer have that umbrella, this protection right here. And that's what's happening to us as a nation. We're turning our back on Israel. And when we do, then we can be destroyed. We've already earned our destruction for what we've done. But he says, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee. And listen to this. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, now, how is that? Because 40% of them win the Nobel Prizes? They're less than 0.1% of the population of the world. But yet look what the Jewish people do.
Amen.
You talk about their wealth of this, and maybe there are some Wall Streets you don't like. But you know what? Jesus himself looked at it and said, salvation is of the Jews.
Yes.
How did we Gentiles receive our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer? It was through Jewish descendancy from the loins of Abraham. So all nations have been blessed. The scriptures have been fulfilled. We not only know, with Abraham, he didn't even know God's name. He called him Almighty God. And you know, that's still the only one you can use that term on. What else can you call Almighty? You can't call the President of the United States the most powerful person on earth Almighty, because they don't have all might. Jesus said it very simple. You have no power except my Father give it to you.
Yes.
All power comes from God. You have any authority, any power, it comes from God. If God had not given it to you or allowed you to have it, you wouldn't have it.
Right.
He's Almighty God.
Amen.
Now, Jacob and Esau, we know we got Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob and Esau. And in Genesis 36, it gives us a clue here, but I want to drop in on you here. But, you know, Esau was the son of Hannah. And she went over among those non-Jewish people, over Moabites. And it tells us that when Esau got ready to get married, he went and got him a wife from those, from the Ishmaelites. And really, that rebellion against the Jewish people has been double bred into those people. And that's the reason today, when you try to talk to them about making peace with Israel, it is so interbred in them against the descendants of Isaac and of Jacob, that Esau's descendants hate them enough that they'll talk about wipe them off the face of the earth. Well, you don't hear any other bunch of people talking like that, that the world lets them get away with it. But I know enough about them and been among them enough that they don't even have the word unity in their vocabulary. They don't have the concept of how to get along even with each other, much less to get along with a descendant of Jacob. But let me just make this as a statement. The descendants of Esau will never destroy or overthrow the descendants of Jacob, because God's word says different. And if they were to overcome them, it would set back Bible prophecy thousands of years. And we don't have enough time left in God's plan for that to happen.
Amen.
So the only security, or the best security, that the Jewish people have, the land of Israel, the nation of Israel, of which Jacob's name was changed to Israel, the best security they've got is God's covenant with them. And it's unconditional. God didn't say, I'll do this if you do that. He said, this is my covenant with you, and it's unconditional. See, that doesn't make everything they do right. But I will tell you this much. They got protection that no other race of people's got on this earth.
Amen.
Then Jacob and Esau, and then his name was changed to Israel, and we know he married. He had 12 sons, and one of his sons named Joseph when he was only 17 years old. The Bible says that. He was 17 years old, just a kid. Hadn't graduated from high school. Had a dream. And he told that dream to his father and his brothers. And they became jealous of it. And so his brothers took and were going to kill him. Then they decided, no, we'll get some money for him. Typical Jew. And so they sell him to a bunch and they take him to Egypt. And we know the things that happened to him. He was falsely accused by a woman. He was put in prison. There was a butler and a baker there that had a dream. He interpreted their dreams for him. They went and told the king when they got out. The king said, well, I've had a dream. I can't remember. Bring these two. Then they had him come up there, and Joseph told him. And as a result, this ruler of Egypt said, this man's God is God.
Yes.
Why? Because God had chosen Joseph to forerun something for his family. And the Bible tells us very distinctly, there was 70 souls that God did all this for. And then the king, Pharaoh, had a dream. And Joseph interpreted this dream. And it was 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph told him what to do. And Pharaoh took and made Joseph ruler over all of Egypt, underneath him only. And he established the first communistic, socialistic government in the world. Everybody else went broke, bankrupt, farming their business until the government bought all their land and owned it all. And Joseph was in charge of all of it. Even in Israel, or the Holy Land where Jacob and the rest of the boys were, things got so bad they went down to get grain. And when they did, Joseph recognized them. He was married to an Egyptian. He dismissed her. He revealed himself to his brethren. Perfect type of what we see happening now. Jesus Christ has revealed himself to the Gentiles. He's taken her as a bride. He said he's going to dismiss that Gentile bride in this rapture. And he's going to come back and reveal himself to his brethren. The prophets Moses and Elijah is going to come do that. Prophesied in this book. I believe it's going to happen.
Right.
If I was a Jew, I'd be looking for Moses and Elijah. Because this book says they're going to be there.
Yes.
One of them going to be able to stop up the heavens. The other one going to be able to turn the water into blood.
Yes.
They do the things that Moses and Elijah did. That's your identification with it.
Yes.
But when the brethren came down to Egypt, Joseph told him, he said, don't blame yourself for this. God did this. God sent me down here to prepare the way and preserve this for you.
Yes,
now, what if they said, well, who are you? You're not over us. I mean, that's the thing they sent him down here with to start off with. But you see, they learned the lesson that God does use men individually.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Amen.
If you lived in that day, you'd have wanted to listen to what Joseph had to say. Then we know that when Jacob grew old, he was sitting in his bedroom in Genesis 49, and he called all the boys in, and even Ephraim and Manasseh, who was Joseph's two sons, and he blessed them. And I challenge you to read Genesis 49, and you'll see that he said to Reuben, you'll do this, and to this one, you'll do that. And he told them where they were going to live, and what they were going to do, and the kind of people they were going to be. Even what their occupation is going to be. God used Jacob as a prophet in that way. Now then we have the sons of Jacob. And as I said, there was 70 souls. But before, while Abraham was alive, Abraham had said something one time about, your people will serve another country for 400 years. And you know, when Jacob took the family and went to Egypt, it was 430 years later when Moses was sent to take them out. Even that time element. You and I look at, well, that 400 years is a long time, but You know, I got a little bit of a perception of this when I went to China in 1989. I saw the Forbidden City there in Beijing. And it was finished in 1520. Well, you know, America was discovered in 1492. And here's this building in Beijing. There was the Imperial Palace. Doesn't have a nail in it. There's over 9,996 rooms. They still can use them today. But I challenge you to go find one building in this America that our forefathers built in the 1500s that's still standing. But the Chinese built it. Hand labor, hand hewn, no nails, fitted together like a puzzle, tight enough to still stay, and it's still standing today. And that's, what, 400 years. So I think the children of Israel were in bondage in Goshen and in Egypt for 400 years, but then God sent them down. Now, here's another man God used. Pharaoh had come along and says, hey, they're getting greater number than we are, so we're going to kill all the boy babies. Well, there was a couple there that they didn't want their little boy killed, so they took and put him in a basket and put him in the river, and he drifted away, and Pharaoh's sister found him in the river and drew him out and named him Moses. Raised him in her household for 40 years. He became Pharaoh's nephew. He grew up and became a mighty man. And one day he saw an Egyptian kill an Israelite. And something inside of him rose up and he killed the Egyptian. Yeah. And as a result, you've seen the story of the Ten Commandments. But God had him banished for 40 years. But God put him through training.
Right.
And God used this one man, Moses, that was a slave, to come back and deliver those people.
Yes.
And you think of the effect he's had on the world today. Almost all laws of the world, even the heathens, is based on the Ten Commandments. And where did they come from? God gave them to Moses.
Amen.
Up on Mount Sinai. A pillar of fire. Supernatural things led these children. Now if you'd lived in Moses' day, would you have followed him? Or would you have wanted to follow Korah? Let's go back to Egypt. Look, we had something to eat. Let's go back there. But no. People had to make a choice.
Yes.
God had Moses. And the people who followed Moses were correct. Now, after Moses, we know that they were in Israel for a while. And 700 years before Christ, there was men like Isaiah came on the scene. He was a prophet. And he wrote a book on the inspiration of God. It had 66 chapters. And I just wonder if there's a coincidence that we got 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, and we got 66 books in this Bible we call the Holy Book.
Right. Yes.
And out of all the books that have been found, all the parchments, Isaiah is the only one that they found complete. And this is displayed in the scroll, the house of the scroll over there in Israel. You can go there and see it, the book of Isaiah. And it's in that one that it talks about, behold, a virgin shall conceive.
Right.
And there shall be one born. He shall be called Mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
Well, do we Christians, we see that as a prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. There's over 700 prophecies in the Old Testament that fit Jesus Christ, that he fulfilled. The last one he fulfilled was, he's hanging on a cross, he's near death, and he looks and here he reviews all the prophecies in there, and there's one in there said something about bitter gall, and he simply says, I thirst. It motivates a soldier to dip the sponge in vinegar, give it to him, he spits it out, and that scripture is fulfilled. Then he says, it's finished.
Right.
Did you know that to take over 700 prophecies, And for them to be fulfilled in the life of one man, the odds are astronomical. I heard a preacher one time from Texas describe it like this. If you were to take Texas and you were to stack it full of silver dollars 3 foot deep all over Texas, but then there was one gold one out of all of those, and then you were to go to Texas and it'd be in that pile, and you were to walk over the whole state, but you'd stop and run your hand down and come out with that one coin, that's the odds of one man fulfilling 700 prophecies in his life. That's the reason I can believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Because of Isaiah's prophecies. I know they condemned Billy Graham a few years ago for saying that Jesus Christ was God. And he says, well, but the prophet Isaiah said, he shall be called Mighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace. What is this mystery that's to be finished? Even Zechariah the prophet says that the day will come when he will be revealed to his Jewish brethren, just like Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. The Gentile bride will be gone, but then they will see Jesus when he comes back, and they'll see the nail scars in his hand. And that's the only man-made thing that's in heaven, is the nail scars in the hands of Jesus. And the Jewish people are going to ask him, where did you get those scars? And he said, from the house of my friends. And when they realize that this Jesus Christ, that they didn't see and didn't recognize at the beginning, that he truly was Almighty God, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Zechariah says they're going to separate every family to their own household. And they're going to weep and repent and mourn. Why didn't we see him? Paul in Romans writes and says, you know, if we being Gentiles, being of a wild olive branch, if we have been grafted in because they refused him, we've been given an opportunity to believe on him because he came unto his own received him not. But when they refused him, it gave the Gentiles an opportunity to receive him. And when we received him, then he made us his bride. But there come a time when he reveals himself back to the original olive branch. And you're talking about repentance and worship and a revival for them to realize our Messiah has come.
Amen.
I know when I first started going to Israel and I had the privilege to meet three of the five leading rabbis in the world. Rabbi Haberstein, the founder of Kiryat Sanz in the Tanya, he asked me a question one day. He called me Rabbi Green, because we had 150 people over there and they were called the Tucson tribe. Rabbi Green, when my Messiah comes, will I have to believe on Jesus Christ? My answer that I gave to him was, Rabbi, when your Messiah comes, you will say it's his first coming and I'll say it's his second. Because Jesus Christ is the Messiah they're waiting on. And you know what? I'm happy to say that people are going to do it. See, it used to be they wouldn't read the New Testament. But now they read the New Testament and they see the truth about it. And they say, he does fulfill these prophecies in the Old Testament. But you see, they had an opportunity when Jesus came. Isaiah, the same prophet that had prophesied these other things, talked about the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And when John the Baptist came on the scene, he said, are you Elijah? He says, no. Well, who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. And it was John the Baptist that stood down on the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
He introduced him. He foreran him. But they refused it. They wouldn't listen to it. It wasn't what they had been taught. They never searched the Scriptures like Jesus said. Search the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Who are you going to listen to? We can come to this day now. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe that the Bible tells me that before he comes, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, behold, I will send you the prophet Elijah, who shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, And I believe that on June 11, 1933, standing in the Ohio River in Jeffersonville, Indiana, there was a supernatural event occurred that a pillar of fire came rolling down out of heaven, and 4,000 people witnessed it, and a voice spoke and said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of the Lord, so are you sent with a message to forerun the second coming. And that was the beginning of Brother Branham's ministry. And I believe that I was privileged as a human being to be a witness to these things.
Amen.
Now, let me get personal with this if I can. You didn't know Brother Branham. You just heard about him. There are people who will have negative things to say about him. They never saw him. They never knew him. They will say, well, he said this, he did that. And all kind of things are said. But listen, folks, I knew him. I saw him. I've heard his message. I believe he was the prophet of Malachi 4. These visions that he had in 1932, I've watched them come to pass. I ask you, who are you going to listen to now? I am a witness that these things are true.
Amen.
Now, even in those who follow his message, we have to make a choice. There are people that are telling you these seven angels mean this, and this cloud means this, and this pillar of fire means this. But I tell you again, you have to make a choice. Who are you going to follow?
Amen.
Who are you going to listen to? There are some that don't want their children to hear me because they don't like the interpretation, the application I put on it. First of all, I say that in order to be right, you need to love everybody.
Yes.
You're going to have any heart in your heart against any ought in your heart against anybody. If you do, you're in danger of hell fire.
Amen.
You cannot say, well, I love Brother Green, but I don't want to have anything to do with him. That's not love. That's passive hatred.
Yes.
Don't deceive yourself. I ask you this morning, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to listen to? When I went to Alabama a couple of years ago with that group of people down there where they made 100,000 copies of what I said, and mailed them all over the world. I had people challenge me. But my husband says, and this one I said, but look, you only heard what people said about Brother Branham. But look, here I stand. You know, you've seen me. Now, what does the Spirit in you say? Am I telling you the truth or am I misleading you? You know, you have to make that decision too.
Yeah.
Let me conclude with this. Paul one time told a bunch of people in Thessalonica and in Berna certain things. In one place they stoned him and drug him outside the city for dead. Next place he went to, the scripture says they were more honorable than they were at that other place because they searched the scriptures in case these things be so. That's all I ask you to do.
Yes.
Is when you hear me bear witness of these events that I believe God did in my generation, don't just write them off. Search the scriptures. Look at history. See if there's some truth in it for you. Because I believe that Brother Branham was a mighty prophet. Sent from God to forerun the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To make himself real. You people have been listening to me here for the last couple of weeks on what we call rapturing faith or rapturing grace. Let me tell you, that's not going to be some great revelation, some understanding you didn't have before. That's going to be your same simple faith that you live with every day, that you've learned to depend on it. You've seen God do it time and time and time and time again without fail. And you're going to believe it, and the day's going to come when you're just going to walk off of this earth with it.
Amen. Yes.
And where did this promise come from? Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I'll send you a prophet with the spirit of Elijah to forerun his second coming.
Amen.
And what did we see in that? Signs and wonders and supernatural things and visions and prophecies. They all came for that purpose, so that you and I could have confidence in something today.
Amen.
But if it says this today and that tomorrow, how can you have confidence in it? But if it's thus saith the Lord, it's the same every day.
Amen.
And I'm not asking you to follow me, but I'm asking you to let me be a witness to you. And I believe that God has truly visited this generation with a mighty prophet.
Yes. Amen.
We could go to Daniel. We could see where Daniel had read in Jeremiah 25 that God had said through Jeremiah there'd be 70 years of being Babylonian captivity. On the 67th year or 68th year, Daniel says, God, you said 70 years. What's going to happen now? And he sought the Lord. And God sent an angel to him, Gabriel.
Right.
And gave him, we have what we call the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit. Finish the transgression, make an end of sins, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the Most High. Angel told Daniel that personally. And then he told him about there's 70 weeks that's promised. He said in 49 years they'll rebuild Jerusalem. In 62 weeks after that, the Messiah will come. Well, that's 69 years altogether. Multiply that by 7, and he comes out to the exact dates when Jesus entered the gates of Jerusalem. In the middle of that 70th week, that going to be broke off. That was the 3.5 years ministry of Jesus. There's 3.5 years left.
Right.
That'll be he'll minister to the Jews, but the bride will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
It is all so perfect.
Yes.
When you stop and look at the simplicity of it.
Absolutely.
You take Daniel also that was there under a ruler, and that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He couldn't remember it, but Nebuchadnezzar was given the dream. Daniel was given the dream. It was an image that had a head of gold, arms of silver, a belly and a thigh of brass, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay that wouldn't mix. And we've seen that come to pass. We saw Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the Babylonian kingdom. We saw King Darius, the head of the Medes and the Persians. We saw Alexander the Great conquer the world by the age of 33. And even the Jewish prophets that were in the city of Jerusalem recognized this prophecy and opened the gates of the city and let him come in without any army. And then we saw the legs of iron, the Roman Empire.
Yes.
And then in my generation, we've seen the feet of iron and clay, 10 toes.
Right.
They wouldn't mix. Khrushchev means clay. Eisenhower means iron. They went to the summit. Couldn't get together. Couldn't speak to each other. Khrushchev took off his shoe and beat on the desk. Not a hammer, not a fist, not a book, a shoe.
Yes.
Showing us all that image of Daniel, the prophecy is fulfilled.
Amen.
Look at the days where we live, folks. All these events are not just coincidental. I tell you what, the more I hear about it, the more I read about it, even the repetition of it, it lets me know. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
With all of us, in every way we know, let's make ourselves ready.
Yes.
For behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Amen.
You want to know what time it is? Look at your watch. Some of you already started looking. You know it's almost 12. You want to know what day it is? Go home, look at the calendar. But you really want to know what time it is with God? Look at the nation of Israel. There's God's timepiece. With Gentiles, it's in due season, or in days when it was time, or in that time to come. But with Israel, he's always given a specific time. 2,300 years. Time and a half. 1,290. 3.5 years. He always gave a specific time. You want to know what time it is? Look and see what God's doing in Israel.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, the sign I see right now is the sign of Zechariah. All nations gathering against Israel. Even America. And God is not going to let her be destroyed. He himself has said he will come and fight for her.
Amen.
But when he does that, the Gentile bride won't be here.
Right.
She'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's what this book says.
Amen.
And after 3.5 years of that, then we'll all come back to this earth. He'll be on a white horse. We'll be on white horses behind him. And he will come and set up a millennial reign for 1,000 years on this earth.
Amen.
That's the promise of this book. That's the teachings of the prophets of God. And you and I live in Tucson, Arizona. We're just 40 miles across here to a place that we call Sunset Mountain, where Brother Branham was, and seven angels came from heaven. Two men witnessed him with him. And they told him to go back east, and he, by divine revelation, would preach the mystery of the seven seals in the book of Revelations. And he did it.
Yes.
And now they've built a telescope within 20 miles of that place.
Right.
I just can't believe that there's something special about that over there. Just like I believe about Sabino.
Yes.
And the things that have happened there. That he never chose that. God did those things.
Amen.
And we were witnesses to them. And God has let us discover those places and see them and be a witness to the world. And all I ask you to do, folks, is let me be a faithful witness and testify to you what I saw and heard.
Amen.
Because I believe truly that God has done something special for us.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, appreciate you. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to write. I don't know of any other man of God, messenger, in the Bible that's prophesied by others to come. Like John the Baptist was foretold by Isaiah, voice of one crying in the wilderness. Malachi told us there'd be one come like Elijah that turned our hearts back to that of the fathers. And I believe that's happened. But John the Baptist didn't have tape recorders, didn't have video cameras. You and I have the privilege to have Brother Branham's voice himself speak these things to us. Tonight, I want to play you one of his sermons. You see, you may not comprehend this, but you know, you get an idea of Brother Branham, and he's an old man or something, but I think I've illustrated to you that some things happened. He was an 11-year-old boy, another one 17 years old, another one 24. When these angels came, he was 55. But you know, Brother Branham was a man just like we are. And there's times when these things had happened, and he'd wonder, well, what is this? And he preached a sermon entitled, Elijah, What Hearest Thou? And he takes and he shows the things that Elijah experienced and some things he went through. And it really spoke to my heart yesterday. And I want you to have the opportunity to hear it in that light. It's less than an hour long. But, you know, there's a time Elijah sat by the brook. There's a time he sat under a juniper tree, and there's a time he went to a cave.
Right.
And you can hear Brother Branham tell those same experiences in his own life. Now, it won't make you believe Brother Branham was a prophet. But if you believe he was, I think you'll enjoy it.
Amen.
Because you can see how God dealt with him. And then these things are given to us for an example, so that you can begin to let God deal with you.
Right.
You don't need to just think of Brother Branham's experiences or my experiences. You need to have an experience with God yourself.
Yeah.
Where you can tell anybody, I know that God is real. For I have felt Him in my own soul, in my own life. I've seen Him do these things.
Yeah.
Amen.